welcome once again to Landmarks for Living. This is Richard Melson, evangelist at the Needmore Road Church of Christ. This is a radio ministry where every listener is encouraged to not only read, but study their Bible daily according to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you think. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you do. Today is August the 2nd, 2026. We're so glad that you have decided to join us this Sunday morning. Please check out our website at www.needmoreroadcoc.com. Past broadcasts of Landmarks for Living are archived at our website. Past issues of the Edifier newsletter are available for your download. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel if you've never done so. We would love for you to visit with us on Sundays, where the church assembles at 2211 Needmore Road. Bible study at 9:30 a.m. Worship at 10:30 a.m. And today, the first Sunday of the month, we have our afternoon service at 1 p.m. There is no 5 p.m. service today. And we will assemble again on Wednesday at 7 p.m. We have some announcements that we'll make at the end of our intro regarding the last month of our summer series and some other exciting opportunities. I appreciate everyone who listens to Landmarks for Living each Sunday morning on 98.7 FM, WGNZ AM 1110, and FM 104.3, or by streaming at thesoulofdayton.com or WGNZ.com. Friends, at the start of this program, the emphasis has not changed. It is to teach only that which is authorized by God in the Bible. If you have a question about anything that is taught during our broadcast, please write to us so that we can supply a Bible answer to your Bible question. You may write to us at Landmarks for Living, care of the Needmore Road Church of Christ, 2211 Needmore Road, Dayton, Ohio, 45414. Or you may email me at dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. Beloved, the Bible is the only approved standard for authority today in all matters of morality, ethics, and religion, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, do not move nor remove the divine landmarks. We dare not step outside the sphere of divine authority and then try to pretend that we are walking by faith. For faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. Keep this in mind, the way we treat the scriptures, the Bible, God's word, is the way that we treat the Lord. Dayton, are you listening? I hope that you have learned from our earlier studies that the scriptures are the complete, error-free source of truth. As such, Jehovah issued forth warnings in both the Old and the New Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 in the Old Testament. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19 in the New Testament. Not to add to or to take away from his word. We are not to tamper with the word of God. God's word is all the truth necessary for the genuine spiritual life. And it completely meets all the spiritual needs of mankind. Dayton, are you listening? I said, beginning, that I would have a couple of special announcements. Our summer series is continuing, and it'll go on through the last Wednesday of this month, August the 26th. Theme is Be Encouraged, Studies in the Book of Hebrews. This week, chapter 10 with D.J. Hatfield of Fairborn, Ohio on Wednesday. The second part of this announcement that we want to make to you is this is for our young people in the audience. Parents, if you have young people, the Needmore Road Church of Christ will have its first youth conference, youth rally called Built Different, Set Apart for Christ, August the 22nd and 23rd, 2026. And we have a keynote speaker who'll be coming in from Miami, Florida, Gail Nelson. Gail Nelson with an N. He is president and CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Miami-Dade, Florida. We want you to come and be with us and check out our website for information about this, or you can contact the congregation for more information, 937-274-6801. Built different, set apart for Christ. We will be having more information regarding this activity for young people of our area. We've been talking about what does God require of us with regards to the moral collapse that we see going on in our communities. And this is lesson three in how have the people of God faced moral collapse in their time. Paul lets us know in Romans 15, verse 4, that whatever things are written for aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. God has given us also negative examples, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 6, so that we learn not to repeat some things that people did, and in so doing, they were not successful spiritually. Now, previously, we discussed how Noah, through trusting God, fearing God, and obeying God, survived the moral collapse of his days. And then as we went further down man's history, we observe that one must never get comfortable with sin. Lot, the nephew of Abram, was able to survive because he was never comfortable with the wickedness around him. And I made this observation before, and I need to, if you are just joining us for the first time and you did not get a chance to listen to those previous lessons, remember that as we study these Old Testament characters, we cannot judge them by our standard today, because we live under the perfect law of Christ, and we will be judged by the perfect law of Christ, by the doctrine of Christ, the New Testament. But they lived at different times, and they will give an account based upon the law that they lived under, whether it was patriarchal or mosaical. Let us consider another person by way of example, and another historical incident. We find its setting in the book of Joshua. If you are turning to it, Joshua, the second chapter. And that's going to be the example of Rahab. Now, I want to ask you to think about something. What do you think about it when I use the term safe house? When you hear the term safe house, what comes to mind? Those of you who watch enough television and all of these police shows and mysteries and all of that stuff, it might carry the idea of a secret hiding place, some clandestine place that no one knows. It is some secret location. But it also suggests a place of safety, a place of refuge. And as you think about that concept, I want you to know that one's home should be a place of physical refuge. Or put another way, that physical home should be a place of refuge, both physically and emotionally. And so as we think about this in this third lesson about how have the people of God faced moral collapse in their time, we would suggest that we should be striving to make our home a safe house. Let's look at the backdrop to what is going on. Do you remember back in Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 16, God made a statement and he pointed out, he said that there would come a time when the iniquity of the Amorites would become fulfilled. Well, the iniquity of the Amorites was finally full. Canaan's moral collapse had reached the tipping point. Rahab had lived through it and participated in it, because the Bible would let us know, according to Joshua chapter 2 and verse 1, that she was a harlot, a wicked person. God had signed the Canaanites' execution papers and had reallocated their property to Israel. Friends, as we study the case of Rahab, this is an example of God honoring a person, and note this carefully, due to their obedient faith. Now, in spite of a personal character flaw, she was still obedient in her faith. Reflecting upon some facts in connection with this incident will help us to gain some insight into how do we make our home a safe house. So who was this person? So Rahab was a Canaanite, an ancient body of people who were wicked, who were paganistic, that inhabited Palestine at the time Israel entered the land in the 15th century before Christ. As we know from the Word of God and even from history, they were grossly wicked people, steeped in idolatry and immorality. They even sacrificed their children on occasion as offerings to their pagan deities. And by profession, according to Joshua 2 and verse 1, Rahab was a harlot. There's now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Achaia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And, you know, the scriptures make no attempt to hide the unsavory lifestyle of this person. Just identifies that was what she was. And so, without question, this woman needed considerable refinement. In spite of her sordid background, Rahab had generated in her heart a growing faith in the God of Israel. Let's look together for a moment, verses 9 through 11 of Joshua chapter 2. Well, we'll start at verse 8 because we don't want to break up a sentence. So before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. But we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea, for when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Dathan, are you listening? So when these spies had visited Rahab, Rahab's secured salvation by seizing the opportunity. You know, she understood that this is a serious moment. She understood that now is salvation at my door. Similar to what, by way of principle, in Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 12, we have the parable of the unjust steward. And the Holy Spirit reminds each and every one of us, when is the day of salvation? They understood it is now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so Rahab is going to take full advantage of this opportunity that is being placed before her. She made a treasonous deal to save herself and her family. And it's interesting to note that in her obedient faith, that she is identified in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, which is the hall of the faithful. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, notice carefully in verse 31, and what more shall I say? Or rather, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And so this individual acted just as Noah did in Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, being prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. She also, by an obedient faith, was able to save her house. And as we go back and you look in Joshua chapter 2, we observe that her house was the only safe place in Jericho. Her house was the only place of safety in that city because of the fact that she had made her preparation, and she was obedient to the God of heaven. And so she did according to what they said, and she was delivered. Like her, we are on the cusp of two kingdoms, a physical corrupt nation and a spiritual holy kingdom. Those who obey the gospel of Jesus Christ are citizens of the kingdom of God, have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and placed in the kingdom of the Son of his love, Colossians chapter 1. And because of that, we are commanded to live a certain way, even if there is immorality and wickedness and worldliness around us. So the question becomes, how can we survive when our world goes up in flames? How can we make it? Well, we would suggest that as we are learning, we need to make our home a safe house. We need to make our home a moral haven to escape from the corrupting influence the world constantly is exerting on our families. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4, you remember how Peter warned the brethren of the first century, and let's remind ourselves of this particular fact when he said, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises through these, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The world is constantly striving to exert its influence and its pressures on us. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Dayton, are you listening? You know, since eyes and ears are the doors that let sin into the heart, Jesus makes this clear in Mark chapter 4, in verse number 24. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. Love not the world or things in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the vainglory of life. And therefore, we have to be real careful that we are not setting before ourselves those things that will harm us. One of the things that would be a practical suggestion, and listen carefully because there's going to be some people who aren't going to like this. Moms and dads, you need to establish house rules about what can be watched, what can be listened to, and what can be accessed online. Let me say that again. Establish house rules about what can be watched, listened to, and accessed. But it's not just for the children, but you need to make sure that you are complying with those. The Lord has already made those. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The psalmist declared in Psalm 101, verses 3 and 4. Listen to what he said. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Notice verse 4. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Dads and moms, monitor those histories of what your children are watching and online. Make sure that all family members know the values behind the rules that you have set up and that you create. Make sure they understand as they get older. Now, this is why we are doing these things, not just to be mean or ugly. There's a reason. Notice, and remember in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, that then Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. Dayton, are you listening? The principle of Solomon in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up. And then, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, bring up. Families need time together to develop strong relationships. Learn to read the scriptures together. It has the wisdom your family needs. Worship together. Oh, magnify the Lord together with me. Psalm 34, verse 1. Try to find time to eat together. Volunteer together. Pray together. Vacation together. Play together. Create memories together. Have fun together. Read books together. Talk about current events together. Ask questions and value what your children say. Learn to listen to one another. James chapter 1 and verse 19. Finally, Dayton, pass the faith on. Love unconditionally. Admit when you are wrong. And be ready to forgive quickly, according to Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 14. Be sincere. Balance love, fear, and grace. Parents need much prayer to rear godly children, according to Matthew 19, 13 through 15. Remember that prayer changes things, so pray with children and for them. Dayton, are you listening? Beloved, it does matter what you think. Beloved, it does matter how you think. God has a plan of redemption that requires faith in Christ, repentance of sin, confession of faith, and then surrender for water immersion for the remission of your sins. If we can help you to become a child of God so that you can be ready to deal with the moral collapse of this world, let us know.
Love and magnify his name.